2 Samuel 7 through 8. Now it came about, when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest on every side from all his enemies, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I live in a house of cedar, but the ark of God remains within the tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your mind, for the Lord is with you." But in the same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and say to my servant David, this is what the Lord says, should you build me a house for my dwelling? For I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought up the sons of Israel from Egypt, even to this day. Rather, I have been moving about in a tent, that is, in a dwelling place. Wherever I have gone with all the sons of Israel, did I speak a word with one of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now then, this is what you shall say to my servant David. This is what the Lord of armies says. I myself took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be leader over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have eliminated all your enemies from you. I will also make a great name for you, like the names of the great men who are on the earth, and I will establish a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again, nor will malicious people oppress them any more as previously, even from the day that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are finished and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he does wrong, I will discipline him with a rod of men, and with strokes of sons of mankind. But my favor shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever." In accordance with all these words and all of this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Then David the king came in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, Lord God, and who are the members of my household, that you have brought me this far? And yet this was insignificant in your eyes, Lord God, for you have spoken also of the house of your servant regarding the distant future. And this is the custom of mankind, Lord God. Again, what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, Lord God. For the sake of your word, according to your heart, you have done all this greatness, to let your servant know. For this reason you are great, Lord God, for there is no one like you, and there is no God except you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation on the earth is like your people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, and to make a name for himself, and to do a great thing for you, and awesome things for your land, because of your people whom you have redeemed for yourself from Egypt, from other nations and their gods? For you have established for yourself your people Israel as your own people forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. Now then, Lord God, the word that you have spoken about your servant and his house, confirm it forever, and do just as you have spoken, so that your name may be great forever, by saying, 'The Lord of armies is God over Israel.' And may the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, Lord of armies, God of Israel, have given a revelation to your servant, saying, 'I will build you a house.' Therefore your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. Now then, Lord God, you are God, and your words are truth, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. And now may it please you to bless the house of your servant, so that it may continue forever before you. For you, Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing may the house of your servant be blessed forever." Now it happened afterward that David defeated the Philistines and subdued them, and David took control of the chief city from the hand of the Philistines. And he defeated Moab, and measured them with the line, making them lie down on the ground. And he measured two lines to put to death, and a full line to keep alive. And the Moabites became servants to David, bringing tribute. Then David defeated Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to restore his power at the Euphrates River. And David captured from him 1,700 horsemen and 20,000 foot soldiers. And David hamstrung almost all the chariot horses, but left enough of them for 100 chariots. When the Arameans of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David killed 20,000 men among the Arameans. Then David put garrisons among the Arameans of Damascus, and the Arameans became servants to David, bringing tribute. And the Lord helped David wherever he went. David took the shields of gold which were carried by the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. And from Betah and Berothai, cities of Hadadezer, King David took a very large amount of bronze. Now when Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated the whole army of Hadadezer, Toi sent his son Joram to King David to greet him and bless him, because he had fought Hadadezer and defeated him. For Hadadezer had been at war with Toi. And Joram brought with him articles of silver, gold, and bronze. King David also consecrated these gifts to the Lord, with the silver and gold that he had consecrated from all the nations which he had subdued, from Aram, Moab, the sons of Ammon, the Philistines, Amalek, and from the spoils of Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. So David made a name for himself when he returned, from killing 18,000 Arameans in the Valley of Salt. He also put garrisons in Edom. In all Edom he put garrisons, and all the Edomites became servants to David, and the Lord helped David wherever he went. So David reigned over all Israel, and David administered justice and righteousness for all his people. Joab the son of Zeruiah was commander over the army, and Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud was secretary. Zadok the son of Ahitub and Ahimelech the son of Abiathar were priests, and Seraiah was scribe. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Sherethites and the Pelethites, and David's sons were chief ministers. Luke 9. Now he called the 12 together, and gave them power and authority over all the demons, and the power to heal diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God, and to perform healing. And he said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not even have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that city. And as for all who do not receive you, when you leave that city, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." And as they were leaving, they began going throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard about all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen. Herod said, "I myself had John beheaded, but who is this man about whom I hear such things?" And he kept trying to see him. When the apostles returned, they gave an account to him of all that they had done. And taking them with him, he withdrew privately to a city called Bethsaida. But the crowds were aware of this and followed him. And he welcomed them and began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing those who had need of healing. Now the day was ending. And the 12 came up and said to him, "Dismiss the crowd, so that they may go into the surrounding villages and the countryside, and find lodging and get something to eat, because here we are in a secluded place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." But they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, and thus perhaps we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. But he said to his disciples, Have them recline to eat in groups, of about 50 each. They did so, and had them all recline. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them, and gave them to the disciples again and again, to serve the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied, and the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up, 12 baskets full. And it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he questioned them, saying, Who do the people say that I am? They answered and said, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others that one of the prophets of old has risen. And he said to them, But what do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, The Christ of God. But he warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the 3rd day. And he was saying to them all, If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, this is the one who will save it. For what good does it do a person if he gains the whole world, but loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father, and the holy angels. But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. About 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter, John, and James, and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, 2 men were talking with him. They were Moses and Elijah, who, appearing in glory, were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the 2 men who were standing with him. And as these 2 men were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here, and let's make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not realizing what he was saying. But while he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And then a voice came from the cloud, saying, This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and reported to no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. On the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him, and a man from the crowd shouted, Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, because he is my only son. And a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams, and it throws him into a convulsion, with foaming at the mouth, and only with difficulty does it leave him, mauling him as it leaves. And I begged your disciples to cast it out, and they could not. And Jesus answered and said, You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you, and put up with you? Bring your son here. Now, while he was still approaching, the demon slammed him to the ground and threw him into a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. But while everyone was astonished at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, As for you, let these words sink into your ears. For the Son of Man is going to be handed over to men. But they did not understand this statement, and it was concealed from them, so they would not comprehend it, and they were afraid to ask him about this statement. Now an argument started among them as to which of them might be the greatest. But Jesus, knowing what they were thinking in their hearts, took a child and had him stand by his side, and he said to them, Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you, this is the one who is great." John answered and said, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him, because he does not follow along with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not hinder him, for the one who is not against you is for you." When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him, and they did not receive him, because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as strangers, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which perishes though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice, with joy inexpressibly, and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which have now been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves, also in all your behavior, because it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, since you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth for a sincere love of the brothers and sisters. Fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. and this is the word which was preached to you. Proverbs 19:10-19. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a slave to rule over princes. A person's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. A king's wrath is like a roaring lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. A foolish son is destruction to his father, and the quarrels of a wife are a constant dripping. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and a lazy person will suffer hunger. One who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but one who is careless of conduct will die. One who is gracious to a poor person lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. A person of great anger will suffer the penalty, for if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. Psalm 119:49-64. Remember the word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my misery, that your word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your judgments from of old, Lord, and comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked, who abandon your law. Your statutes are my songs, in the house of my pilgrimage. Lord, I remember your name in the night, and keep your law. This has become mine, that I comply with your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways, and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hurried and did not delay, to keep your commandments. The snares of the wicked have surrounded me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you, because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion to all those who fear you, and to those who keep your precepts. The earth is full of your goodness, Lord. Teach me your statutes.